Bless you in the name of Jesus. You may be seated tonight. Amen. The way in a manger. Anybody in here love Christmas? Anybody glad when Christmas goes? I think we all have a little bit of that in us. I love what the season represents, but there's times I'm glad to see it go. And we are, no doubt, as you are aware, in the most busiest times of the holiday season. Christmas, of course, is right around the corner. And growing up as a kid, I loved decorating the Christmas tree. My mom, in my opinion, to this day, and even then especially, still has the best taste for Christmas music. And I came from a musical family. And unto us, a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And Isaiah, if you will, he begins to reach for and look for that one name, if you will, as the Spirit of God begins to move upon him to write. And rather than list the name, he begins to list the attributes and the characteristics of God. He begins to say, his name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Counselor. His name shall be called the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These various characteristics and attributes did in fact describe God, but it was understood that God had a name that was above, Brother Lawrence, every other name. The Old Testament Jewish people, they knew him by various names. They knew him by various titles and attributes and characteristics, such as the word Elohim, which simply means God, the creator and supreme divine being. They knew him in the Old Testament by characteristics and attributes and titles such as El Shaddai, which simply means the Lord Almighty, emphasizing God's all-sufficient power. They knew him as Adonai, or Lord or Master, signifying his divine authority. They knew him, as Abraham would write so adequately, as Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. They knew him by the title Jehovah Nissi, which simply means the Lord is my banner, or God as our rallying point and victory. They knew him as Jehovah Sitkanu, which simply means the Lord our righteousness. He is our source of righteousness. They knew him also as Jehovah Shalom, which simply means peace, or the Lord is peace. And that list can go on and on and on. But these men, these prophets of old, they longed to know the one name of God. And as we read Isaiah 9 and 6, we can somewhat sense, if you will, the excitement in Isaiah's writing, in his tone, as he longs to utter that one name. And instead of giving us a single name, he ends up giving us a glimpse into who Jesus is. And tonight, and also on Sunday, we're going to look a little bit into the riches, if you will, of this verse in Isaiah 9 and 6. And I want to begin tonight where Isaiah began with, where he starts the verse by saying these words, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." Isaiah gives us the why before he gives us the what, the where, or the who. It seems really wild and unthinkable that God would become a man, that an infinite God would become finite, that the eternal God of glory would step into time, that
through Jesus Christ, God stepped into the realm of humanity. But that's exactly what he did. Paul would tell that young son in the gospel, Timothy, in 1 Timothy 3:16. He declares and says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness." Why? God, he was what? He was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. He was preached unto the Gentiles. He was believed on in the world, and he was received up into glory. This is what separates truth, if you will, from tradition. This is what separates revelation from religion. God did not send somebody else. He came himself. It scares the devil half to death. It makes many people in religious circles scratch their head. It frustrates the philosophers of the day and even those of the past. But to those of us born again believers, it excites us. It's not just the belief on one God. The Bible says that even the devils believe in God, in one God, and they tremble. There are other one God religions in our world today, but the writers of the New Testament, they take us down the bedrock path of truth, and they proclaim that without reservation, God became a man. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." The glory of the invisible God is fully revealed in the face of Jesus Christ. Judaism simply could not accept that their Messiah would arrive in such a lowly manger. They surely thought he would come as a king. They surely thought he would come with all the pomp and circumstance. They surely thought he would come as some great and high and lifted warrior, but they could not see him coming in some lowly manger. But make no mistake, they did believe that a Messiah would come. They just thought he would come in a different manner. It was blasphemy to them that they could not accept it. So ultimately they killed him. But under the unction of the Holy Ghost, Isaiah made a messianic proclamation that this child would be born and this son would be given. He was, in fact, the full and the complete expression of the Almighty God, and he would be made known to the world through the man Christ Jesus. God would become a man. It was as if you will, Isaiah was standing as a center post of scripture connecting what we now know as the Shema. In Deuteronomy 6:4, Moses wrote and said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." And with the words of Peter in Acts 4:12, he said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And when you connect Deuteronomy 6:4 with 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 19 that says, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. What's happening? It's connecting the old, if you will, the one God message of the Old Testament with the one name message of the New Testament of, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Wherefore, again, God hath highly exalted himself and given himself a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." Isaiah was, as it were, a prophetic bridge connecting the one God with the one name. This powerful verse here in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 is that a child was born and that a son was given and that God became a man. He was not half God and half man, but he was all God and all man. We understand, perhaps you've heard some of these statements, but just let me repeat some of these tonight. We know as a man he slept in the bottom of a boat, but as God he stepped to the bow of the boat and he spoke to the winds and the waves and they obeyed. We understand that as a man he wept at the news of the passing of his friend Lazarus, yet as God he stepped to the mouth of that tomb and he commanded that Lazarus come out of there, and he had to come out at the word of the Lord. We know as a man he hungered, but as God he fed the multitudes. Everything that made God who he is was on full display in the man Christ Jesus. Isaiah prophesied it, and the angel repeated it about 600 years later, that this child was Emmanuel, being interpreted simply means he was God with us. He was not Jehovah Jireh Jr. He was not Elohim 2.0, if you will. He was not the second person within a Godhead with us, but he was God with us. When God stepped into humanity through the man Christ Jesus, he became what he had never been before. But hear this tonight, he never stopped being what he had always been. He had always been God. The incarnation is, without a doubt, one of the greatest wonders of the entire Bible. It defies all of human understanding to think that God became a man, that this little baby that Mary had cradled in her arms, he was indeed the Ancient of Days. They tried challenging Jesus that day, the religious crowd. They were so upset with his message. He spoke to them and said, "You are of your father, the devil. You're nothing more than your father, the devil." And they spoke and said, "Who do you think you are, being such a young man? Who do you think you are? You're no older than 30 or 40 years of age." And Jesus made this famous statement and said, "But I'm going to tell you something. Before Abraham was, I am. Before you ever understood anything on this earth, I was the Ancient of Days. I came to this earth as the Ancient of Days. I came to this earth as God manifested in the flesh." Amen. Now, before we get too far into the various attributes of God found in our text, I believe that the first words of Isaiah 9:6 tell us why. Isaiah gives us a unique perspective of the reason for the incarnation when he says, "Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given." Look at your neighbor in the eyes and tell him, "He did it for me." Now, we could debate until the cows come home about all of the reasons why we believe he did what he did, and we'd probably mostly be right. However, Isaiah gave us the why in the very first utterance of this particular prophecy here in Isaiah 9:6, that a child was born and a son was given unto us. It wasn't only to overcome sin. It wasn't only to defeat the adversary, but he did it for us. If you would tonight, I know it's Wednesday night, we're kind of quiet and it's kind of hard right now, but if you don't mind, do me a favor. And when I make a statement, would you mind shouting back at me, "For us"? Okay, that's great. All right, here we go. He came. He lived. He gave himself. He was betrayed. He was lied on. He allowed the soldiers to rip his back to shreds with the whip. He had a crown of thorns shoved into his skull. He allowed soldiers to stretch him wide. He allowed soldiers to drive nails into his hands and his feet. He went to a tomb and he got up on a third day And the next time the adversary tells you that you're nobody, you're nothing, you say, he did all this for us. He did everything for me. So you've got no legal authority over my family and my life. He did it all for us. Amen. He became a man for us. And several years later, Isaiah would write and pen the beautiful words in Isaiah 53, and he would again utter this messianic prophecy that he came to bear our griefs and carry our sorrows. In Isaiah 53 and 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Unto us a child is born. He came for my deliverance. He came for my healing. He came for my peace. He came for me. That baby born in a manger in Bethlehem may be one of the greatest wonders ever of the Word of God, the overall picture, if you will, of redemption from Genesis to Revelation. It can be overwhelming to the casual reader's mind, but if you look at Isaiah 9 and 6 again, we can rest and understand that God did everything for me. That the Almighty, the scripture says, made himself of no reputation. He humbled himself. He took upon himself the form of a servant, and he became obedient unto death. Why? He did it all for me. He did it all for you. Now, I know we touched on this briefly, but I have to say it again. You really cannot talk about the manger without talking about the cross. He was ridiculed, mocked. He was whipped, spit upon, crown of thorns on his head. He who sits upon the circle of the earth, he stood vulnerable as a man. He stood as a lowly servant. He who inhabits eternity, he is now bound in this situation by guards and by chains. Why, preacher? All for me. My sins were atoned for. He bore my grief. My sin was upon him. If I could ever put something in your spirit on this Wednesday night, it would simply to get you to realize he did all of this just for you. When you celebrate Christmas morning, if you don't read the Christmas story, you should on Christmas morning if you don't already do it. But when you read that story, make sure you understand he did every last bit of it just for me. He came just for me. Unto you a child was born, unto you a son was given. He did that because he'd meet you at an altar some 2,000 years later. Thank God he came to my rescue. In him, Colossians says, dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He gave himself for us. You know, he's not a distant God as some try to paint him to be. He's not some unsearchable God. The Bible clearly says, the day you search for me with all your heart, that's the day you'll find him. His ear, we understand, it's not heavy. His arm, it's not shortened. The Bible says he is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. Let me encourage you this evening. I hope you understand this. If not, I pray you understand before we leave tonight that he is your God. Hello. He came unto us. He came unto you. He came unto me from the beginning. The child that was born unto us. He was destined to die for us. He was born in a manger. He lived. He died for you and I. Amen. Hear me, saint of God, tonight. Please, you do not have to go at it alone in this life. You are not by yourself. He really is as close as the mention of his name. How about those angels on a hillside talking to shepherds in Luke chapter 2? The Bible says, the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring to you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. It doesn't matter if you've been living for God all your life or if you're brand new living for God, whether you've been backslidden, you walked away, whatever your case may be tonight, if you're just brand new starting off, it matters not. He did it all for you. The sinner, the saint, the struggler, the seeker, all of those trying to find him, he did it all for you. You have to know something if you don't already. The shepherds of that day, they were not the upper echelon of society. They were the outcast of society, if you will. They were not learned people. They were not good people at having conversations with each other. They were quiet people. They were always by themselves. But the angel of the Lord said, even to you shepherds, I came to you to let you know unto you is born a Savior. I'll say what I said 3 weeks ago. He came to that feeding trough to let the world know it's for whosoever will, let him come and drink freely from this well. I'm not judgmental. I'm not some God who plays at different levels of degrees. I came for everybody to reach out to me. Hallelujah. And his name is Jesus. Charles Spurgeon, celebrated evangelist of the 19th century, he put out an idea that in order for the child to be born unto you, then you must be born again. Therein lies the key, if you will, to unlocking the riches of Isaiah 9 and 6. The child was born unto us, inasmuch as we are born unto him. Christ came for the whole world. He bore the sins of all humanity on the cross of Calvary. And in order to loose the greatest blessing of that event into our lives, we must first come to him and be born again. Jesus told Nicodemus what? Except a man be born again of the water and the Spirit, he cannot see, he cannot enter into what? The kingdom of God. He was very, very serious. It wasn't just, you have to know Nicodemus came that night. He didn't come for a Bible study. He simply came to say, listen, we know you're a good prophet, you're all these great things, but Jesus was on a divine mission. And in response to the question, I said at Sunday, as to what they asked Peter, what must we do? Peter proclaimed on the day of Pentecost the famous verses, Acts 2:38. But I want you to notice some for the first time tonight you never saw before in your life. Then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39, here we go. For this promise is unto you, it's to your children, it's to all who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. You have to know 800 years after Isaiah 9:6, Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is speaking the same message. It's unto you, it's unto us, it's to whoever comes. Let him come to me and I will give him rest. What I'm telling you tonight is simply this. This way of the manger is simply to tell you, he came for you. He came for no other reason but to save you, to reach for you. Amen. That's why we preach, we teach the essentiality that every man, every woman, every child must be born again. Must repent of your sins. Amen. There is no, and I don't want to get off topic here, 743, but you hear what I'm telling you. There's not another way to Jesus. That's not a United Pentecostal Church, an AOJC, WPFP, all these crazy letters we got for these organizations. That ain't what it's about anyways. There's always been one way to Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And he gave keys to the Apostle Peter. You can argue that however you want to argue that, but it's just the book. and you only come to Christ. I heard it years ago, I think it was Oprah Winfrey, said there's 100 ways to Houston, so there must be 100 ways to Christ. Well, that looks good on TV, but that ain't Bible. I mean, you don't, and I'm not at all dogging any other people how they believe, but you can't get to Christ through Allah. There is no such thing as that. You can't get to Christ through the Virgin Mary. That's not how it works. There's just one way, and it's Jesus Christ. I'm the truth, the life, and the way. And the way to get to him is repentance. I mean, we understand that. I'm going to slow down here for a couple of seconds. We know that repentance, it's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of direction. You know, I've said this before, but it's when I heard it, it just revolutionized my life. When they said that the old generals on the battlefield, he would scream out the words, "Repent!" And when he did, they turn around. They go the opposite direction. That's what repentance is. It's a conscientious mindset. God, it's a heart thing. I'm turning around. It's not just a good cry or a guilty feeling. It's a way of life. Amen? Repentance is a process. That makes sense? It is. That's why every day Paul said, I die daily. I got to repent every day. I got to put my crazy flesh on the altar every day. Amen. I want to make sure I'm headed the right direction every day. That's why I encourage you, pray every day. Repent every day. I don't mean flippantly, just, "Oh, God, forgive me." No, I mean sincerely, "God, if I've done anything to offend you, God, forgive me. I want my heart right. I want my spirit right. I want my mind right. I want my soul right." Amen. So we die out to the old man. Scripture says we identify with him. How? Through our burial and baptism. We are buried with Christ. Amen. It is 100% absolute essential that you are baptized, you are born again by water and spirit, and it only counts if you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. I'm not having a baptism, a Bible study on Matthew 28, 19 tonight, but the name of Jesus has to be invoked over the believer. That is essential for salvation. That is baptism. That is a part of the plan. That's the way in the manger. It's Isaiah 9 and 6, "Unto us he is born." Remember I said it a while back, I'll say it again. To believe on Christ is more than mental assent. I can believe all day long, I want a Reese's Cups and a Dr. Pepper. But until I get my hide off the couch and go to the convenience store and buy that Reese's Cups and Dr. Pepper, I'll just keep on believing. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Faith without works. To believe is to repent. I've preached a while back. Believe in the scriptures, it's an action word. It's not just mental assent. To believe is to repent. To believe is to be buried with Christ in the name of Jesus. And not only buried, but you'll be raised with Christ. We identify with him through his resurrection, through the infilling of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues. That is the gospel in a nutshell. That is the way, the truth, and the life. That's not some cult teaching. That's not some old Pentecost teaching. No, that's old Bible teaching. You got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. He was born unto us for that reason. Man, there's always Calvary at Christmas. The manger always points to a cross. The swaddling clothes always point toward a burial place. Amen. The hands that shaped the universe, we know, we've said it three times, they were stretched out and nailed to a tree. Unto us a child is born, that we may be born again. And when you and I are born again, he becomes, as Thomas put it, my Lord and my God. He's no longer their God. He's not just, growing up, you said things like, "Man, I wish I had what they had."
Anybody did it before? I'll watch Sister So-and-so when she prays. And we all had them when I was growing up in our prayer rooms. There was always certain people. It was like they were plugged into 220 all the time. I mean, it just lit them up. It seemed like wow, how are y'all doing that all the time? And it seemed like, and there's certain services, it was like God would move on them. And you knew it wasn't like some of this jazz we see nowadays where people move because the drum's loud enough. That I don't want to say any Christian bad words, but that chaps my hide. I'll just say that when people just move to the beat of a drum. I've seen them shout, literally stagger under the power of God on Amazing Grace. That's how it's real. That's how you know it's working and moving when elders can move and ain't nothing moving. Ain't no song being played. Ain't no song being sung. They just think about the goodness of Jesus and it gets them to moving. It gets them to understand. Hear me. If you want that experience in your life, if you've been born again of water and the Spirit, all you have to do is fall in love with him over and over and over and over again. And before you know it, you'll be 85 and gray-headed. And they'll say things like, good God, if I could just have what she had, if I could just have what he had. And you can tell them, follow me back to a manger. Let me lead you to a place called Calvary. Let me show you an empty tomb where I came up out of my grave. And let me show you, you can do exactly what I do if you'll just fall in love every day, if you'll just die every day, if you'll just make up in your mind and realize he was born unto me and I was born unto him, and therefore we're connected at the hip and can't nothing separate me from the love of God. I'm in this thing till they put me in the ground. Hallelujah. Now I'm selfish because he's all mine. Hello. He's my God. Amen. God, there's lots of people here tonight, no doubt, that the Lord wants to get you to a Thomas moment where he is your God. He is your Lord. He's not just, woo, that preacher's crazy, or man, there she goes running again. No, but you have your own personal experience where the Holy Ghost has totally consumed your life, and you can't wait to get with Jesus. You can't wait to spend time with him. Hear me, somebody, right now. If you don't have that pull from time to time, I advise you to pray until you want to get in his presence. I advise you to pray until you want God to stretch out his hand. It's not just something we do. It's who we are. We've been bought by the blood of Jesus. Thanks be to God. He shed his blood on Calvary for us. Amen. Pentecost is not a religion. Pentecost has always been an experience. Amen. Amen. Pentecost is an experience. And you need, God help me tonight, I'm way off track. You need to have experience with God. You need to have moments with God where the glory of the Lord just descends where you are, and there is no explaining it. All you can say is you had to have been there. Can't nobody say a testimony is a lie because it happened to you. But when it happened to you, you want some more of that. When you keep on feeling God's power pull you, you want more of that. And the Lord is trying his best during this Christmas season to tell you, I want to be your Lord. I want to be your God. I don't want you to come to church because someone told you to come. I don't want you to come to church because you feel like you have to come. I don't want you to come to church because it's just what you've always done. If you do that, you can backslide on a pew, but the Lord wants you to become in love with him all over again. He wants a fresh love to fall on you. He wants fresh prayer, fresh manna from heaven to fall on you again. You can pray and atmospheres will shift. You can lay hands on the sick, they will recover. You can take authority and demonic forces have to flee when you know who he is. Amen. When you've been born unto him, when you've been connected with him, you receive power. You know, I'm convinced, and it scares me, that half the folks in the church don't know what they got. Let me just help you with something right quick. Did you know that the power of God, the Spirit of God that resides in you,
and how God operates, how God moves. It was not reserved for three or four wackos in a church who have crazy faith and they'll lay hands on anybody that halfway raises their hands. And the power of God was designed for everybody in the house. And the reason why many people never access, and I'm not saying you'll be like me, I'll be like you. You be you. I believe in that. But I am saying lots of the reasons why people never access the glory and the power of the Holy Ghost is because they've never truly had experiences with God. They had a one-time invitation at an altar. The Holy Ghost nailed them. They spoke in tongues. They were baptized. And that's as far as they got. They never renewed the gift. No wonder Paul told Timothy, stir up the gift. He said it was in your grandmama. It was in your mama. But you got to make sure, Timothy, it's inside of you. How do I get it, preacher? I'll tell you again. You come back tomorrow, and you come back on Friday. You come back on Saturday. You pray. The old timer said, we prayed until something broke. We prayed until heaven came down. That's what lots of people need today. They need the Holy Ghost to invade their world on a daily basis, not once a year, but on a daily basis. Man, he was born unto you. Man, I don't want to belittle your experience with God. I don't want to belittle your walk with the Lord. But I do want to challenge you and encourage you during this season and tell you that God wants to take you a whole lot further than you are right now. Amen. This keeps coming to me, that Thomas word, my Lord and my God. Amen. The reason why you feel like you, man, what is, I always see folks crying and, man, running around talking. What is this about? I'm going to tell you, that's not reserved just for five or six folk. Now, I'm not saying you're going to cry every service. I'm not saying you're going to run up to the walls every, I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, there has to be something in you that pulls you. That yearning inside of you that says, I got to touch the Lord. I mean, it should not be, and I'm just going to go pastor him over the last 4 minutes, but it should not be that I only, quote unquote, pray through once a year. Read the scriptures. You're saved, the Bible said, by the renewing of your mind. You're kept. That's why so many people struggle with sin and addictions and they can't get free. It's because they never get renewed in Him. Remember when you got the Holy Ghost for the first time? Anybody? It was so real, you can take me to where you were. Am I right? It was so real. And not just the speaking in tongues, but you can take it because it was such a God divine moment that it arrested you. Hello? When that happened to you, tell me, am I lying or am I telling the truth? When you came out of that, you probably said, I've never felt so clean in all my life. When you came out of that, if I'm lying, tell me. You really loved everybody. Am I right? If you weren't a hugger, you became a hugger. That's a fact. I mean, you just loved, you felt so much forgiveness. You walked outside, the trees were greener. You loved the dog. It was like a country song playing backwards, right? You got everything back in one day. I mean, you loved everyone. Because the Holy Ghost had taken up residence. And you were in that moment fully submitted to God. And then came sanctification. That's called the walk. And God said, that's got to go. And God said, that attitude's wrong. And now all of a sudden, flesh has to make up its mind. Do I want to submit to him or not? That's why people come to church service after service and they lead the same way for 25 years. Because he stopped being their Lord and their God. Hello. Don't worry, I'm preaching to Brad too. Right? When he's your Lord and he's your God, you'll do anything for him. Obedience ain't a problem. Hey. Amen. Remember this. Please hear me. I'll hush. But you're not saved just because you had an experience. Thank God for the experience, but it's a daily walk. He's my Lord and my God prayerfully when I get here in the morning to pray. And on Friday, if I'm still breathing, he'll be my Lord and he'll be my God when I come to pray. And if he says, Brad, your attitude's wrong, your spirit's out of order, whatever's going on, get it right. It's up to me in that moment that he either remains my Lord and my God or I kick him to the curb. And I say, I don't want to deal with that today. Amen. I feel about 80 different directions right now. Amen. Let me just say this in all hush. Don't ever let church become just normal to you. Now, I know every service, again, we're not, it ain't going to be highs. I get all that. But every service, there has to be something I take out of that service that gets in my spirit. Not just because I'm preaching. It matters not who's preaching. But something gets in my spirit from that service. I can chew on that, if you will, the next day. Well, what is that? That's God. That's his word staying alive in your life. That's God having free access to reign in your life. And it's not just coming to church and sleeping 45 minutes of the preacher's 50-minute message. Although I've done that before too. But God is serious about us being a people who are hungering and thirsting after him. You know, I'll say it again. Church should be, and it's supposed to be, the funnest place in town. It really is. And I don't mean just in great music and great preaching. I mean because the Spirit of God resides here. And not just this building. He's everywhere. I know that. But you really never know what's going to happen when you get together with God's people. Amen. And it only works if faith is moving. And that only works if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Amen. That's why sometimes a preacher can preach for an hour and a half and it's like, man, it was like preaching through a brick wall tonight. And lots of times it's because God's trying to get our ignorant carcasses ready. But if I come in ready, I'm meddling. I know I'm meddling. But if I come in ready to go, if I come in prayed up, fasted up, word, we got the word in my spirit, when the church service starts, it ain't no waiting for me to get ready. I'm ready. It's just, God, what do you want to do tonight? God, how do you want to move tonight? And that's why he came. He came for you. He came to have a personal walk, a personal relationship. So if God tells Brother Lawrence, go over there and tell Brother Kelso, I'm going to heal him tonight, he can move in faith. Amen. Let's all stand. Amen. God believes in you more than you believe in you. And take it a step further, the devil believes in you more than you believe in you. It's just convincing you to believe in you like they believe in you. Amen. That what I have on the inside is powerful. That what I have on the inside, the world can't take it away. They didn't give it, they can't take it away. Amen. And God wants to restore. He wants to anoint. He wants to touch. He wants to empower. I'll say it. I'm not here to preach my vision cast message for January 4th, but I'm telling you, he wants this church to be a spiritual dynamo. And I know you don't feel it tonight, but I'm going to speak anyways. I'm telling you, there will come a day when Wednesday night services will not feel like Wednesday night services. There will be absolutely off the charts with people receiving the Holy Ghost, being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's going to happen in this house. That's not just to hype you up, but it's the Lord's desire for this house. There will be a perpetual revival that runs in this house that no matter if it's Wednesday or Sunday, that God will feel, God will deliver, we'll baptize them on Monday nights, we'll baptize them on Tuesday nights. The Holy Ghost is going to do above and beyond what we can ask. It's just up to us to believe that kind of stuff. Amen. Let's pray. God, we love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word, God. Thank you that you came unto us. Help us to realize, God, that you're for us, God. You're not against us, God. Help us to realize these things tonight, Lord. Bless this church. In Jesus' name we pray, Lord. Keep your hand upon us in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. Thanks for coming to church. Don't forget, one service this Sunday. We look forward to seeing you here at 10 a.m. God bless you in Jesus' name.